All right. Well, we're expecting...
What's next, Beaches?
Well, we're expecting...
You're the programmer here. You've got the schedule.
I do have the schedule.
Where we're going and who we're talking to next.
Side Pocket should be here soon. At least that's what's planned. He'll be on the air for a little while. It sounds like he's going to be having some speakers come down or some other people come on the air. Should be pretty interesting.
Cool.
But while we're waiting for that to happen, let's just talk.
Sounds good to me.
Have you already introduced yourself to our listeners?
I have not. So if anybody is listening, they probably have a question at the moment as to who the hell is this guy that's been interviewing her.
Yeah. So why don't you introduce yourself?
So I am Hack5190, and a lot of times I get asked the question, what is the 5190?
Yeah, what is the 5190?
Well, the 5190 goes back to the first device that I ever modified, which was a Nokia 5190 phone.
Well, there you go.
So true to my roots, I kind of stuck with that, or I started with that, I guess, and that's just been it ever since, you know.
How did you modify it? What did you do? What did you change?
There were a couple modifications you could do to it to allow you to not only use bands that it wasn't originally designed to use in the U.S., but also a couple other modifications where you could bypass things and change the IEMI and some other stuff on them.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, I wish I could do that nowadays with... with some of the tracking devices that are located out there.
Yeah.
You know, Stingrays, etc. But, switching phones seems to work pretty well, pretty good as well.
Yeah.
So I tend to, travel with a different phone than I use around the house. So, obviously, that's one way of doing that. And I have dedicated equipment, as you and I had discussed before, that I had built specifically for traveling across borders.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, I think has become even more important now in the current political environment that we're in today, with the intrusion and everybody wanting to look at your devices.
Yeah.
When you're returning to the country, so, my hacking interests are very wide and they cover a whole lot of area.
Which hope was your first hope?
Actually, this is only my second hope.
So this is your second
hope? This is my second hope. So I don't qualify to be on your panel that you're looking for. Is this your first hope?
This is your first hope. Yeah, that's fine. But, I mean, really, the good news is that you came back.
Yes, I did. I had a good time. My wife did not come back, you know. Yeah. Not that she had a bad time, because she didn't actually attend. Her idea was that she would see me all evening long and we would do things in New York, etc. And when I showed her that, it starts at 10 o'clock and it pretty much runs until midnight, she was a solo woman for New York for the weekend. And she discovered that getting a single ticket for a Broadway play is very easy compared to getting two tickets. So she saw a couple Broadway plays.
That's good.
She saw a couple museums, which I didn't really want to go see anyway, quite honestly. So she got to go see those. I did take time out. We went out to the Statue of Liberty together. So we did do a couple of things. She decided when it came around time to make the reservations for this year, she says, you know what, I'm going to pass.
And that's fair.
So that's okay. Yeah. So that's allowed me to get less sleep this time.
Yeah, because that's a good thing.
Well, I don't know it's necessarily a good thing, but it does allow for more interaction, you know, a little bit of a bigger social life, I guess.
Yeah.
You would say with your fellow hack hope attendees. And, you know, it's not bad. I can always sleep when I get home.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, how did you first hear about Hope?
How did I first hear about Hope? Well, this is a long, involved backstory, but I'll give you the short version.
Okay.
So at one point in time, I worked at a hospital.
Uh-huh.
We had a Nortel phone system.
Okay.
And we got a phone bill one day that was very high.
Oh, wow.
With a lot of calls to a few islands in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
So we were trying to figure out how this happened.
Yeah.
And at that day, in that era, you could use butt sets because all of the lines were analog.
Mm-hmm.
So we were self-maintained on our phone system. We went back, we're running through with the butt set, listening on all the external lines. And there we go. We've got tons and tons of calls of people who were not speaking English. And it's like, well, this just didn't seem like legitimate hospital, you know, usage. So we kind of sat around. There were three of us that were in the IT department at that time. And we're like, so how are we going to figure this thing out? And the one guy said, well, you know what? At Barnes & Noble, I saw this magazine called 2600. He goes, maybe we want to go take a look at that. So we actually went and we purchased a copy of 2600. And in that particular issue of 2600 that we purchased, there was an article where a person had wrote about a defect or a undocumented feature, if you want to call it that, in the Nortel voicemail system, where you could actually come into the mailbox and go right back out and make an outbound dialing call.
What?
Yes, that was what? Published in 2600.
Oh my God.
So this would go back 24, 25 years ago. So we actually found the solution to our problem by a copy of 2600 that we bought in a bookstore.
That's great.
That's how I got turned on to 2600. Now, later in life, you know, I now work at home, so I've got a little bit more flexibility, and I don't have all that time on the road traveling, etc. So I started to get into listening to Off the Hook and Off the Wall podcasts during the day while I'm working at home, because I'm not annoying all my fellow cube mates, because thankfully where I work, me, myself, and I, the three of us all get along great, so there's no arguments or problems in my office. So that's it. And then, you know, E and everybody else are on there talking about Hope, and I just decided, well, you know what? Time to get out there and go see what it's about. And there you have it.
Well, really glad that you're here, and I'm glad that you're so involved. It's been great having you around.
Well, thank you, yeah.
This is the first time that you're really being on air, is that correct?
Well, with you guys, anyway.
Well, with us.
Yeah.
But
I have a little bit of history of broadcasting here and there.
Wow. Do you want to talk about that for a little bit?
Well, let's see. There may have been a pirate radio station or not.
Allegedly, maybe.
Yeah, allegedly pirate radio station. And then there was the era where I sat at home and, you know, in the early days of cable television, you had community TV.
Yeah.
So you had the local guys who would be on there just talking about anything. And I was very big into auto racing at that time. NASCAR, Formula One, IndyCar, you name it, I pretty much followed it. So one day I was sitting there and was talking to my wife and watching some guy doing a show about this. And I said, you know, these guys are really terrible. They have no idea what they're talking about, and they should not be on TV. So the next day we were talking about it at lunch at work. Again, being three IT geek guys, you know, and the one guy said to me, well, if you're so good, why don't you go get a show and get on TV? I said, you know what, I will. So I put together this little draft proposal, sent it into the community television station. They called me up and said, hey, you got a slot. So there it was, you know, we had a slot. So what I would do is I actually bought some, you know, used Betamax 3/4-inch machines. Mm-hmm. I had them at home. And I would edit up the highlights of all of the three different motorsports that I followed. I would edit those up into the clips that we were going to use on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other guys that worked with me was also a fan of motor racing. So him and I would go in there and we would sit there and we would talk about motor racing and show these clips. And it was kind of interesting because it was a very, at that time, we were kind of the groundbreaking group that didn't follow the rules when we went in there, because every show that was on this cable channel had a table very similar to the one we're sitting at, with chairs behind it and a curtain, and that was it. Nobody changed a thing. So we went in there, we took the table out, we took the chairs out, we drug in the chairs from the lobby that were these very nice comfy chairs with arms, you know.
Yeah.
And there was a local sports shop that had auto racing memorabilia and stuff. They would loan us these cardboard cutouts of auto racing drivers, so we'd have them standing up around the place and stuff. And we did get hecked for that for the very beginning a couple of times. We got our hands slapped for changing the set around, even though we returned it.
If you put it back the way it was, who cares?
I agree. And you know what's funny is a year later, everybody was doing that.
Yeah.
So we were kind of the trendsetters in there. But the best part about it was not necessarily the fact of getting to talk about all the races and stuff. It was the fact that we actually, when I was joking with you later about press coverage, is that we were legitimate press. So we would actually go to NASCAR races and IndyCar races, and we got press credentials.
Oh, that's great.
So that we could go in for, you know, we got in. Yeah. And we had the third guy in our group. He didn't want to be on camera, but he had a camcorder and stuff. So he would go, and we would walk around, and we would talk to drivers. And it, in a way, it was one of the greatest times in my life of being a fan of motor racing, because I was completely on the other side of the track.
Yeah.
You know, I was infield, and I got to do a lot of things. And since then, I've scaled down. I only watch Formula One now, you know, but... It's just a difference. My wife asked me a lot of times. She'd go like, you know, aren't you ever going to go to a Formula One race? I go, nah. I said, I can't really go to races as a fan and sit in the stands anymore after being on the other side of the track. I go, it's just not the same anymore.
Yeah.
So I did that for quite a few years. So to, you know, the long answer to your question is, this isn't my first time of broadcasting, but it is my first time on Radio Statler.
Well, we appreciate that you're here. You've been hanging around pretty much all weekend, in and out, and coming, chilling with us.
Yep. Between talks, you need somewhere to hang out, so.
I'm glad you're choosing here.
You can only walk up and down through the vendor rows so many times.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
And I'm on my, as you probably know, I'm on my mission of handing out and getting rid of all my Vistaprint business cards, so I'm still working on that project.
How many did you get?
Oh, well, what do you get? You get 500 for whatever, you know, when you see the TV commercial. But I didn't bring 500 with me, so anybody who's listening doesn't have to worry. I saved a few for a couple other cons.
Yeah.
You know.
What was it? It was, I think, 4 years ago at Hope number 10. Hope 10. I did stickers for Radio Statler.
Okay.
So this is actually, the stickers that we have out now is actually the second run of stickers. The first run came in a roll of like 250.
That
was the smallest that I could buy. And you don't really realize, like, 250 doesn't sound like it's necessarily a big number.
So you're looking for places to stick them.
Yeah, and then you're just like, what am I gonna do with all these stickers? This is a lot of stickers. This is an egregious amount of stickers.
Well, for a station, it's only on the air every other year.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. It lasted for two entire hopes. This time I went with Vistaprint. Sadly, I was in a rush. I was just like, oh, shit, I gotta get stickers. Fuck. Okay. Yeah, you're like, oh, that's a reasonable number. Like, on paper, that sounds okay. And then you get them, and you're like, oh, God, what did I do?
Mm-hmm. Well, then not only that, but when you're logged into their website, you know, for only this amount more, you could double your order. It's like,
yeah.
Well, you know, that's really less than half of what I'm paying for these. I may as well just double it at that rate.
Yeah.
And you're right. Then when you get them, you look at them, it's like, what in the world am I going to do with all these?
What did I do?
You know, so after the first batch, well, after the cards arrived, I took a regular sized envelope,
mm-hmm.
and I took I guess maybe about 10 of them, because they're actually pretty thick cards. I was impressed with the quality of them, not to promote them, but they really were
mm-hmm.
thick. So I took like two stacks of 10, put them in a regular sized envelope,
mm-hmm.
sealed them, and I was going to mail them to a friend of mine in London. I told him, you know, I told him they were coming. I'm like, you know, wherever you go, just pin them up on a board somewhere in some shop just for the shits.
Yeah.
And took them to the post office. The guy is like, you can't send these first class mail.
What?
So I said, why? He goes, well, it's too thick because of the business cards. It's not flexible. I said, but I put them in two rows. I said, so I thought they would be flexible. Well, okay, maybe they are. So then he pulls out this big piece of cardboard. It's a gauge. So you can only be a certain thickness.
Yeah.
So he had to force it through because it was too thick. He's like, you know, it's too thick. He goes, and I'm like, come on, dude. I go, do you know how much this is going to cost to send in a package? Well, of course he did. He works at the post office, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, no. He says, you know, you're going to have to come back and have this and this other thing. And I'm like, come on, man. I said, you know, look, I'll help you fix your computer. Just put it through as first class postage. Okay. So, and I live in a very small town, so there's like nobody in the post office, so I don't have to worry about anybody hearing me bribe the guy. But he did. He actually sent it through. So it cost me 40 cents, you know, 50 cents, something like that, to send it. Yeah. Yeah, and it got there, no problems at all. So,
have you been getting any contacts off of, like, have you been getting random emails or contacts from people?
I have no idea. I haven't really been checking it. My phone's been going off a lot, but I don't really know why. I don't pay too much attention to my emails when I'm traveling.
I mean, if they don't leave a message, then I mean,
well, there's no phone numbers on my card, you know. It's just generally it's got my little logo, you know, with the guy that I borrowed from X-Files.
Yeah.
It says trust no one, the smoking cigarette man. Yeah. And then it's got an email address and my public PGP key, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
If you want to get a hold of me, encrypt something, send it there, and you know, I'll talk to you. But since it isn't really a business or anything,
yeah, that's all you really
it's
need.
Just generically, there it is. So, yeah, because he was always my favorite character on The X-Files. And again, you know, if you didn't learn anything after 10 seasons of watching it, you learned one thing, trust no one.
Definitely.
And that's the business we're in, right? So, but to be honest with you, I actually don't have that email account with me. Because as I mentioned, you know, with traveling equipment, it doesn't have all my accounts on it. So I do not have my regular email. I don't have my Hack 5190 email. I definitely don't have my work email. I have none of that stuff on there.
Yeah. That seems reasonable.
Yeah, I've got burner accounts. I use burner accounts on my phone for email. Yeah. I use burner accounts on my laptop for email, etc. You know, I mean, like most of the people, we probably all keep our passwords in some form of a key pass, you know, or some form of a password vault.
I would hope.
And and if not, what are you waiting for? Get cracking on that.
Honestly, really. If you aren't using a password vault, EFF has a guide. It's was S. SD Security Self-Defense. SSD.EFF.org.
It's actually a very good page.
It's a really good resource.
There's no two ways about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I travel with what I call my travel key pass one, which only has maybe 4 or 5 passwords in it. That I don't travel with my full one ever on my phone or my laptop.
Yeah, and I don't. I wouldn't blame you.
You know, and that's it. Anything I need is still at home. And if I can't VPN into it, then I'll just call the wife.
Yeah.
She's at home.
That's fair.
You know, so that's kind of it. Not certain how we got down that whole rabbit hole, but hey, we ended up there.
That's kind of how Radio Styler works. You just end up in a certain one place, and you just kind of meander wherever.
That works for me, man.
Yeah, I think it works pretty all right. So we should be getting Side Pocket in here soon. He said that they were on their way down. So,
do we know who he's bringing?
Actually, I'm not sure.
Wow.
So it's going to be a surprise.
He's just out there randomly collecting people?
Not randomly collecting people. He has a plan.
Okay.
Doesn't always inform me of the plan, but he has a plan.
Well, it's probably confidential, and maybe you don't need to know.
Well, as the production director, actually, I do. It's kind of my responsibility.
But you know he's got a time slot.
He has a time slot.
Do you need to know more than that?
Not necessarily.
There you go.
But it's very hard to hype it.
Well, that is true, and that's exactly why I was asking you.
So we have some new
graffiti. I noticed
on
that
the wall.
Well, since we had 2 new panels,
I
made room for certainly new graffiti.
So far, I'm impressed. We have some nice Stoppe made a hat, cowboy hat.
Mm-hmm.
Very good cowboy hat. Kurt Cocaine, aka at KRTNXDNXTDOR. So Kurt Next Door.
Kurt Next Door, exactly.
KRTNXTDOR. Kurt is pretty cool, I think.
I think I know Kurt.
Yeah. I think she was here last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We have a bunny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Can you read what the bunny is saying?
Not without glasses. But I'll walk over there and look.
I think that means I need to see it. Like, oh, God, I can't see across the room. I probably need new glasses. But I just got new glasses. This is not good. This is terrible. I don't know if any of our IRC listeners are actually here. What does it say?
Huzzah, half diamond life.
Okay. Those are words?
They are words.
Ah, there's a keep on fucking hacking and hacking fucking. That's probably from that hacking sex talk that they did.
Was rather interesting.
Was it? Mm-hmm. That's good. I came in, I was surprised. I came in and it looked like they had all cleaned up except that there was one like vibrator just on the table. I was like, okay.
Yes, I could tell, as a listener. That there were a few items here in the studio with them.
Well, that's good. Yes. Yeah, I'm not sure how well necessarily having all these props in an audio format really is, but I don't know.
It's probably good for the other people who are part of the panel because then at least they can discuss it and look at it. You know,
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I just for the listeners.
Yes. That is true. Considering the webcam.
The webcam does not work.
Tape over it, so.
Side Pocket has arrived.
Uh-huh.
He has people. Which means
time
that
for
I'm getting
we
off
are out of here.
The radio. You should say to pick any mic that we're comfortable with unless something's changed from last night. Some of them are turned off, but you can turn them on,
yeah,
so.
That's fine.
That should
as
be
long as
a
they turn
thing.
On, yes.
They should turn on. They should turn on. All right, listeners, be prepared for Side Pockets after this brief little break.